This is Power Walk with our founder and president, Reverend Paul Cannings. Thanks for joining us today as Dr. Cannings brings his final message in a very powerful series titled Faith in Adversity from the book of Nehemiah. Dr. Cannings has shared profound biblical principles which we can apply to our lives today because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's Dr. Cannings now with the final challenge for us in today's message, Facing Discouragement with Confidence.
The challenge has been, as we study the book of Nehemiah, how to press on. In the midst of adversity, how to keep our faith alive. How do we surrender, just get something done with a selfless prayer against all odds? That's so true. And then the challenge to do what God has called us to do is not an option, because the Bible says we must fight the good fight of faith. The Bible is telling us we must press towards the mark of the high calling. We must run the race that is set before us. So everything is forward. Walk the walk of faith. Follow this walk. Paul would constantly talk about walking, 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 never just standing. You don't find a lot of standing in the Bible. There's places where it is in Ephesians chapter 6, but then when it happens, you have an armor on because there's darts being fired. And the best thing to do is to put on the armor and stand, but there's nothing in the back. But there's times you want to turn around and run. I mean, like the folks in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32:1. And eventually, they got discouraged. What do we do with this discouragement when it arrives? I mean, it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, the story is told, fictitious story that was told, that Satan had a garage sale. So Satan had all these different tools out there as to how he can get his demons to buy all these tools to get out there and to do what they got to do. So he had this garage sale. Come use some of my weapons. If you want to be about being what Satan is about and follow my leadership, you need my weapons. So he had all this stuff out there, but to the side was a very expensive tool, very expensive, and it was messed up. So these demons that came by, they're going, you know, this got a high expense here, but it's messed up. It's scratched up, torn up, bent up. Why would we spend that kind of money on buying that particular tool? And why do you have it to the side like you're trying to hide it from everybody? So, yeah, I really don't want y'all to buy it. That's why I put it at that price. So why don't you want us to buy that one? He says, because I like that one. That one I like to keep. It is messed up, scratched up, bent up, because I like to pry people's hearts open. And I like to stuff down discouragement. Because once I get them to be discouraged, they think of suicide. When I get them to be discouraged, they don't want nothing to do with the Bible. They don't want to pray. They don't want to go to church. They just give up. If I could just get them discouraged, I can win every battle. You know, folks, that's exactly what the folks were seeking to do to the people who were building the walls. And they have done it already. They have stopped them from building. Ezra came back. Everybody fired up, went to building their homes. Haggai said, hold up a minute. You are building your homes. You keep neglecting the temple of God. And so the people said, you're right. We are. So they turned around and they started to rebuild God's temple and got it rebuilt. But then when they got it rebuilt, they just did not come in with the same spiritual passion. So Zechariah came and preached. And so the people are fired up now and they went to rebuilding the wall. But then these people came and they came up against them and they talk Xerxes into believing that they're rebellious people and you can't let them finish this wall. And so the people became discouraged. So Satan won one battle. But there's a man named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah came and he recognized how this tool works, the tool of discouragement. Many people, they're fired up for God. You know, some people saved, accepted Christ, man, and they're fired up. But those trials start coming. Temptation starts arriving. Failure came and their commitment to Christ. And now they don't want to try no more. You see, discouragement comes in many words and in many ways. And that's what we find in chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah. He says, now it came about that the men of Sambalot heard that we were rebuilding the wall. And he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. First thing you have is that people start telling you, you can't do what you think you can do. Sometimes it's not even the people in front of you. Sometimes it's the people you grew up with. Sometimes parents have told you, you just can't achieve this. You're just not what you think you are. You've heard that growing up, or you've heard teachers. Unfortunately, great teachers are out there that helped all of us to be where we are today. But there's some teachers that just did not give you that fired up and drive forward. And so you got used to being an underachiever. When you have such abilities, such capabilities. And so when discouragement comes in any form or fashion because in your life you've heard so much noise, it easily discourages you. A wife may not have as edifying a words, just tear you down, or a husband just keeps tearing you down. People on the job may look at you because you don't have the clothes, and you may not speak the way they speak. You may not be a part of the crowd that has been there 10 years before you got there. And so sometimes it mounts up. That's what you see in verse 2. He spoke in the presence of his brothers. He got more people and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" That's an insult. It's not a way to cast a negative light by using words that are degrading these feeble Jews. He says, are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stone? So they got a big party going on here, a beatdown party. From the dusty rubble, even the burned ones. What they're building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. Oh, man, they're having a field day here. That's what happens, folks. I've so learned in my life that when discouragement is coming, it comes sometimes when Satan can't get you in one. He's going to send a group of people, a group of difficult situations that just keep popping up day after day after day after day. And God just keeps letting them happen. I learned in my life that God allows that because he wants it to become a God issue so that he's the only one that could solve it, which deepens our faith and our walk with him. Why would he make the Red Sea flood stage when they could have crossed it over like the Rio Grande? God made it at flood stage. Jordan, flood stage. Why couldn't you just make people in the promised land short people? No, they're giants. Why would God let these situations be so great? I mean, Paul, shipwrecked, beaten. I mean, at the end of Paul's race, what does he say? I'll no longer live. It takes the person out of themselves and drives them if their commitment and faith in God stays fervent, to surrender completely to God's power. See, Nehemiah was there. The people weren't. Nehemiah was totally surrendered, totally exposed to God's power. He's found God's favor. He explained that in chapter 1, chapter 2. He's seen the good hand of God. He's seen God do powerful things. So in his mind, so what? Speak what you got to speak. Say what you got to say. We're still building this wall. But not the people. The people were demoralized, verse 5 says. How do we respond to discouragement? Here's the first thing we learn, verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. This is your problem, God. It's not mine. I'm about doing what you say. I'm committed to sacrifice my life, Nehemiah is saying, to take care of the lives of people who are being abused, taunted, their children are being abused, raped, taken to slavery, heavy taxation, driving them into slavery. The young men are being taken away from them to see their children go away and they can't do nothing to stop it, knowing that their daughter is some man's concubine and could never do anything to get her back. They're living with this constant, Lord God, you have a covenant with these people. You can't let this continue when we're pressing forward to do what you've called us to do, believing in your power, trusting in your power. You just can't do it. It's a God issue. It's your issue, God. I got a wall to build. See, that's the same thing Moses would do. Moses, these are your people. You can't let them die out here. Nehemiah says, hear, O God. In other words, Lord, I know you're listening, and I know you're listening with a heart to do something. I know you're walking with me. So, God, you're already listening. You're already concerned, and you're already planning to do something. And I just want you to know that I'm still depending on you. My faith is still in you. So, God, I know you're here. I know you're listening, and I know you're ready to do something. That's what the word hear means. I love that about that. Nehemiah is expecting God to respond. That's why he's saying, hear, O God. He's not trying to get his attention. He's saying, we already have your attention. And the second thing he's saying here is an imperative. He's saying, God, I command you to hear. What? Who are you? But Nehemiah so understands that God would never leave him nor forsake him. His covenant says that. Oh, folks, God's covenant says he would not leave you, forsake you. What is the reason for which Jesus Christ took on a glorified body and sits at the right hand of the Father? How could he leave us and forsake us when he says in John chapter 14, verse 16, that the Holy Spirit is in us forever? He's got angels around us, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. All spiritual blessings rest on us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, so that we live in heavenly places. We are in Christ, Colossians chapter 3, who is in God, and the Holy Spirit is in us, so we are in heavenly places. How could God leave us? He is saying, because of your covenant, there's no way you will let me fail. There's just no way. So I command you to do something. We can't fight them. We don't have the military hardware, and we don't have the wealth they do. We can't refund this army, resource this army, reestablish this army out in battle. So this is a God issue, and therefore, God, we command you, because you are a God that is faithful to your covenant, steadfast to your promises, chapter 1, to do what you're going to do. When there's a verse to the issue you face, you could command God. We can come to him with confidence and boldness and speak with boldness. Face discouragement with confidence that God will never forsake you. He loves you so much. Satan just wants you to think he left you. You're not alone. God will strengthen you. He will never forsake you. He cares too much. Oh, folks, speak with boldness. It's just a trick of the devil to create doubt and to stir in discouragement in your heart. So the first step is to believe God for who he is and for the love he has for you. Stay focused.
God does care about and loves you with an everlasting love, and he will always keep his promise to you to never leave you nor forsake you. If that sounds appealing to you and you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then call us right now. Our number is 281-260-7402. That's area 281-260-7402. For a copy of this message series or any of our other resources, visit us online at powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org.
As I stand in front of us today, I'm excited that we came back from Africa with a great team that is from New Jersey, from Houston, from Grand Bahama, from Haiti. And we have been serving now for a while now in Muzanzi, Rwanda. And it was an awesome time. They brought their leaders, their wives. We had a great time sharing and growing together. And we touched pastors from around the world. And we were excited because they came from different countries. We were excited also that the university is being built. All of these things is what Power Walk is about. And when we go to Africa, we touch four or five nations at one time. Power Walk wants to do what the scriptures encourage us to do, and that is to go make a difference in the world. And I pray that you would support us as we go about doing God's work for God's glory, for God's honor. And I pray that your support will allow us to reach our budget of $300,000. Help us to finish this year in the black. We need your support. And I pray that if God so moves you to do greater than that, we would love to go further in touching lives for the glory of God. When you touch Power Walk, you're touching families, you're touching communities, you're touching the world. It's not just a television ministry. It is an impact to touch the world and to make a difference for God's glory as he commanded us to. We look forward to your gift. Thank you.
Once again, our web address is powerwalkministries.org. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas, 77092. Now as we leave you, remember, you can face discouragement with confidence because of God's great love for you and his promise that he will never leave you.